There's always a surprise, and no one better to talk about it. Our good friend Rich Waltz joins us, and Rich, of course, calls games on the MLB Network. We see him all the time on the network, and I know he's going to be doing one in July, filling in for Bob Costas. Rich, how are you today? How are you today, Rich?
I'm good, Marty.
Good, very
good. I'm good, Marty. How are you now that we've got that?
Yeah, you're very good. You're good and good and good. You're very good. All right, I like it. So MLB Network, you're going to be doing a game this month, right?
Yeah, I've got two. MLB Network is the produces those Facebook games, and I've done four of those. I've got a couple of the Facebook games in July. I've got a showcase game, Cubs on the road at Cardinals, which is always a fun matchup. That's at the end of July. So I do have the Giants in Seattle. I want to say the 25th of July.
Yep,
that's one of those Facebook games.
Yep, day game. We have our original Joe's dinner that night. I know that. That's the night of our dinner at Original Joe's in North Beach. So, I saw that on the schedule. You know, you may have heard me as you were coming onto the show. Seattle sort of holds the ticket here to the wild card. Look, Boston Yankees, they're going to both obviously be in, I would imagine. But can Seattle hold on? Because all of a sudden, Oakland is beating everybody, and the Giants and Oakland have six games coming up. And then, as I said, Tampa Bay, very quietly, no one's noticing, but they've got to 500 today.
Yeah, I was actually just looking at the Rays box score. They beat Verlander today, and they did it again with an opener, with the reliever starting, pitching an inning, and that was against Verlander. And they beat the Astros 5-2. So that's, it'd be interesting to see if they can sustain that, going with an opener and maybe two or three starting pitchers in their rotation. I like Oakland a lot, and man, they're playing well. They won again today. I think that's six straight for them. They are four games behind Seattle. If Seattle loses tonight, they'll be within 3.5 games of Seattle. I love the corners. I love Olsen and Chapman, and I think Bob Melvin does more with less than any other manager in baseball. But you're right about Seattle. They're doing it, obviously, without Robinson Cano. But we've talked about them before on this show. They are deep. This is as deep a lineup as they've ever had. This is as deep a lineup as they've had since probably 2001 or 2002.
Yeah.
I think they need another arm, though. They're kind of doing this without Felix being King Felix. And if you're talking about late July and trades and stuff like that, I think for Jerry DePoto, who is as aggressive a general manager out there, I think a bat and a frontline starter are probably at the top of his list. And it will be interesting to see if they can. I don't know that they can play this well for the next 3 months. But look, if Oakland keeps playing like they are, Seattle doesn't have to fall back. Oakland, if they could stay with them, and it will be interesting to see. You'd love to see Oakland play like this at least to the end of July so that they don't feel like they want to trade off somebody and that they stay in it and maybe add to what they've got right now.
Well, Giants A's, it's going to be terrific. We've got three leading into the break. And three after the break, three here, and then three in Oakland after the break. So all of a sudden, I think that's they become very, very pivotal series for both teams, those six games.
Hey, Marty, I've got a question for you. Because you've obviously followed the Giants a lot longer than just about anybody, and you follow the A's as well. So here's my question for you. If baseball were to expand, and when they expand, they go to 32 teams, and they realign, and the Giants and the A's end up in the same division, what would that be like?
Well, it would be very similar to what we have now in the interleague, because first of all, if they're in the same division, and again, with 32 teams, I don't know how many games you're going to play within the division. I think that's something that they have to figure out. So if they play 12 times, probably it would be very similar to what we have now in interleague. I think if the A's got a new stadium and competed as a business as opposed to what they're doing now, I think you're going back to the Pacific Coast League days of the Oaks and the Seals. I think it would be a terrific rivalry, especially if the A's could get a new ballpark, wherever it's going to be, in Oakland, Jack London Square, or the Coliseum, whatever they do. I think the rivalry is there. I really do, because the Giants are an organization. They're always going to put something out on the field. And I think the A's are ready to enter a new era, whether it's without Billy Beane and David Forst. I think if they got a new stadium, they would enter a new era. I think it would be terrific.
I'm with you. I think you're right. I think the stadium and then some continuity in terms of players, keeping some of these guys that are blossoming, Olsen and Chapman and Piscotty and guys like that, then all of a sudden they're on equal ground, and that would be fun. But that, who knows? I mean, because one of the cities that everybody is talking about in terms of being a front runner for expansion is in the West, and that's Portland, Oregon. And that certainly would change. You know, then you could go, if you wanted to go an 8-team division, you've got teams all lined up out West to do that. And it would give Seattle a rival and a travel partner as well.
Well, you've worked in, Rich Waltz is with us. Of course, we love hearing Rich on the MLB Network. But you've worked in Seattle. Is Portland a viable major league city?
Yes, yes, yes. A couple things about Portland. It's bigger than most people realize. I think it's 22nd in terms of market size. It's a really good baseball TV market, and traditionally it has been, watching Mariner games. Mariner ratings down there are pretty good, and the Mariners do draw from that area as well. So, yes, I'm fully behind Portland as the number one team on that expansion list. I think it would be terrific. I think the rivalry with Seattle would be great. It would ease travel, too, for Oakland. You know, if they're American League West, all of a sudden, you know, maybe you don't have to go to Texas that often. So, and one thing's for sure, when they expand – and go to 32 teams, they're going to realign. And you know, I don't think Texas is going to be linked to Oakland or to anybody else in the West.
Boy, interesting. I know Rob Manfred's talked about, I think they've got to figure out what's going to happen in Oakland and Tampa Bay before, and Miami even, which,
yes,
what's going on there before they start bringing cities like Charlotte or Portland or even going back to Montreal. I had a nice talk with Dave Van Horn about the possibility of baseball going back to Montreal and needing a new stadium and new ownership up there. But, Rich, we get to this part of the season, and we had Steve Gilbert on from MLB.com, and Kerry Crowley was with us, Bruce Jenkins, and talking about the Diamondbacks. And the Diamondbacks last year made a huge trade for J.D. Martinez. Just an amazing trade, and he went wild and propelled them into the playoffs. And of course, they needed Greinke and Ray in the first game, and it messed them up against the Dodgers, and the Dodgers knocked them out. But they're in the mix for Machado, and I think they have a taste of what it takes to get there in making that big trade, and it looks like they may want to do it again. Any thoughts on that, on possible trades that could be coming up?
Yeah, I think the first part of the puzzle is to figure out who's selling, right? And there are – we've talked about – quick, you know, the middle ground in baseball, if you're not contending or you're not rebuilding, that middle ground can be quicksand. So, I mean, teams like Toronto, Texas, the Mets, you know, teams that have substantial assets but aren't winning and have got to be thinking, all right, do we, you know, unload these assets, get younger or do we want to hold on to Syndergaard and DeGrom and give this rotation another run with some better position players next year? So I think you first have to figure out who's dealing. Those teams in particular, though, I mean, you've got, you know, some really quality arms in the rotation for the Mets. Cole Hamels is the apple of a lot of teams' eye right now with the Rangers. With the Blue Jays, you know, Jay Happ is a name, another guy who is probably a better target than Hamels in terms of his contract, and I think numbers as well. And both those guys pitch in hitter-friendly ballparks. So the Machado, to me, is the big piece. And then the other question is, are the Orioles going to wholesale sell? The Dodgers, the Phillies, even Arizona is a name that I think has been linked to Machado. you know, thinking about the Giants, I think most Giant fans look at what, you know, obviously the ERA in June has been absolutely terrific. The issues have been at the back of the bullpen. So how do you fix that? Do you go out and try to find a closer? Do you rehab a closer that you've got? Hope somebody takes that role that's already there? Or do you, and I think a lot of teams have done this in the last 2-3 years, just try to do the, I guess it would be the Costco plan, which is accumulate a bulk amount of guys who are just quality arms, can be closers, and can be used as weapons, you know, like an Andrew Miller or something. And there are guys out there. I mean, Brad Hand, to me, is a really fascinating guy in San Diego. I saw him early in his career. Adam Ottavino, I mean, we're just staying in the west of the Rockies, is could be a weapon-type guy. Kyle Bearclaw, if you want to go out in the east with Miami. Those are the type of guys. You talked about J.D. Martinez, but I think in terms of rotation and bullpen weapons, that's what interests me right now. And, you know, what do you think is going to happen with Matt Harvey? I mean, he's shown flashes of his old self. I don't think the Reds, I mean, if you're the Reds, I don't know that you're going to want to run the rest of the year with him and all that. I think you're going to want to deal him.
Well, but, you know, Rich Waltz with us. Great to talk baseball with Rich today. But Matt Harvey, I wouldn't trust. So I don't think I'm bringing him in. But interesting point you bring up about the bullpen. And as you were talking, it made me think of Brian Sabian. And, of course, when he first came to the Giants, one of the big trades he made was Roberto Hernandez, bringing him in at a time. And I have to look back at the roster, but he was like an extra closer at the time.
And the secret sauce that the Giants always had included having not one but two closers, you know, closer A and closer B, almost like the intern, the closer in waiting for that really great run with the three world championships. And I'm all for that. I like having a guy that can close in your eighth inning. So if your ninth inning guy goes down or you have to rest him, he can slide into that role. Or if you want to use him as a secret weapon, and bring him in the seventh, bring him in the eighth, in the sixth, when you need him, you've got enough guys that you can never have enough closers or guys that have that ability, in my mind. So,
well, what's happened is, and we'll wrap it up with this one. Good discussion of what the Giants needed. I've gone back and forth over the last couple of months. First, I said they need a starting pitcher. I said they need one more, and of course, I don't think they need one more. They probably have too many. Then I started thinking about an outfielder, and I don't think they're going to have the money to go out and get a starting-type outfielder. I think this left field thing is still going to be a work in progress. Maybe Slater will do it. McCutcheon's here. I think I'm back to what I said earlier, and this was about a month ago, a right-handed reliever. I just think when you look at Strickland coming back at some point, I've seen Dyson, I've seen Melanson, I've seen Maranta, I've seen Corey Guerin, and if you could give me, and I don't know what the price would be for a Blake Treinen, not the A's would never deal him to the Giants anyway, but if you can bring in a right-handed solid pitcher for me, I think that's what they need, because I think this right-handed relief is going to be, it's too much of a crapshoot every time you bring these guys in, and I think I'm going to stick with that. I think if you got one bullet to play, I'm going to play the bullet of right-handed reliever.
Well, Bearclaw fits that. You know, he's a Bay Area kid. He grew up in Santa Clara. He went to St. Mary's. So maybe he's on the shopping list already. I don't know.
Boy, he'd be great. Boy, great to have you on with us. One more thought about this whole expansion thing. I'm glad you brought it up. Jason Stark wrote a great article about it in The Athletic this week. But where will they find the pitchers? You know, it was brought up on the MLB Network. I think Brian Kenny or whoever's sitting in for him said, if you brought in, right now there's 30 teams, can you find 150 pitchers, starting pitchers? And I don't think you can. I think the new wave is to fool around with all these relief pitchers because you can't find starters anymore.
Well, you know what? That's part of the what the Rays are doing here, because I think if you look at your rotation and say, hey, starters 1 through 3, we really like them. you know, are we better off just trying to piece it together? Will we get better results with what we have, starters 4 and 5 or 6? Maybe that's true. And a couple of years ago, I asked Kevin Cash that, the Rays manager. We saw the Rays in Miami a lot, and they did that in an emergency and were really successful with it. And he said, look, if you're going to do this over the course of the season and have an opener and have maybe 3 starters in your rotation, you need 2 or those 3 starters to give you 7 innings on average, or, you know, most of the time, so that you don't burn through the arms. Where do you get the pitching for the 2 expansion teams? You know, I don't know. I mean, look, this is a side note, but having watched what I watched with the College World Series, that sport, the popularity of that sport is growing. Television ratings are up. The College World Series was great. College baseball is growing in popularity. I wish that Major League Baseball would do something to supplement the scholarships for Division I schools. 11.7 scholarships, that's it. So when you ask me where are the pitchers going to come from, you've got to get them from other sports, Marty. And it's not just inner city kids that can't afford college baseball. It's middle class kids as well. You've got to remove the financial hurdles for baseball, for kids to play as kids through high school into college. The fees for the showcases, the fees for travel ball. If I mean, you go ask the coaches at Santa Clara and USF and St. Mary's, even at Cal, how they do it when they can only give 11.7 scholarships and they need 35, 40 guys for a program. If you get a third of a scholarship to Santa Clara, most kids still can't afford to go there. I wish baseball, with all the money, and look, the percentage of kids going in the draft now are really tipping towards college. That percentage is rising with every draft. More and more baseball is depending on college baseball to provide them with talent. I wish that that Major League Baseball would supplement somehow those scholarships so that the financial hurdles for middle class and inner city underprivileged kids, they don't go to football, they don't go to basketball, that they are able to financially give baseball a shot. Sorry,
right.
I took too long.
No, I understand sort of the feeder system that football does if you have more kids going to college. Right, well, whatever. Hey, love having, you know, we love these discussions. You know, it's our weekend, and it's a beautiful weekend here in the Bay Area, and we got Giants Diamondbacks tonight, so anything we touch on is always fun to do it, and I still think the Diamondbacks are going to pull off another deal again, but we'll see. We got another month of ball coming up before all that happens, but have a great week, and we'll chat with you next week.
All right, Marty, thank you.
All right, that is Rich Walsh. You'll hear him on the MLB Network, and of course he does the showcase games as well.